the river. A light at the river. Anybody need one? There is a river we must pass over when life so goes to sleep in the west. There'll be a light for me at the crossing, guiding me to my home of sweet rest. There'll be a light for guiding my soul across the dark foam, down through the valley, past the dark shadow. Jesus, my life will carry me home. Soon I shall reach the brink of the river, where the chill waters murmur their song. Nothing can harm me, nothing alarm me, while I am sailing across to my home. There'll be a light for me at the river, guiding my soul across the dark foam. Down through the valley, as the dark shadow, Jesus, my light will carry me home. Down by the river, soon I'll be standing, bidding farewell to friends on the shore, sailing with Jesus on to that land where he is the light that shines evermore. There'll be a light for me at the river, guiding my soul across the dark foam. Down through the valley, past the dark shadow, Jesus, my light will carry me home.
383.
I have heard of a land on the far away strand, in the beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, that we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old, where we'll never more roam. We shall be in the sweet by and by, happy praise to the King, in eternity sing. 'Tis the land where we never shall die, never grow. Thou art, how great Thou art. That don't make Sarah Jane feel well. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. Oh, Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Oh, Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Be thou my God while life shall last, and Welcome each and every one of you that's come out to be with us today. It's good to see you. Trust we come with thoughts of God on our heart, desiring to lift up His name. Good to see those I haven't seen in a while. Good to see those I have seen in a while. We'll make a statement. In the book of Jeremiah, in the 33rd chapter, Jeremiah is in a crisis. He is in a situation where he doesn't know what to do, and his reliance is completely on God. He says in the 33rd chapter, said, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. He was a captive in Babylon, and he was in prison. Gives some kind of idea of the crisis he was in. He said, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, and the Lord is his name. He tells Jeremiah to call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I know Jeremiah's crisis was different from anything that we might experience. But what I want you to see in those short verses is that God has told us to call upon Him and He will answer our prayers. Last month, I told you that we had received disturbing news about my wife. The doctor had said she had kidney cancer, and we were supposed to go that week to find out the next step in how to deal with this crisis in my family. We went, and he said we need to take it out. We waited a couple weeks, and he removed her kidney. While I was here, I asked you, if you would, to cry out unto God, that you would pray on mine and my wife's behalf. She had her kidney removed a little bit less than 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago. The doctor was happy with the outcome. He's happy, I'm happy. My wife is happy that she's here, probably in better shape than I am today. I feel like God answered prayers. That's what he said. He said if you'll call on him, he'll answer his prayers. He certainly answered ours. I appreciate all the prayers. I will apologize. There's some here, when I told them about it last month, they said, call and let us know what's going on. I usually let my wife do stuff like that, so I'm not very good at it. And she had other things on her mind, so I apologize for not letting everybody know what was going on. But it turned out well. Prayers were said in her behalf, and they were answered, and I praise God for that. We have a lot of problems that we must deal with, a lot of situations in this life that we need to be concerned about, and we need to continually be in prayer, not just for the way the country's going or whatever might be going on in the world, that governments are collapsing across the ocean and all types of things that we need to be concerned about, but the prayers of our brothers and sisters for each other, according to God, is a thing that God has ordained for us to do, and I appreciate all that's done, and we need to continue. We don't need to stop because God answers one prayer and say, well, that's all we need. We need to continue to pray for one another. I understand Sister Janie had a trip to the hospital this week. And they diagnosed you with a stroke.
Stroke.
We ask that you would pray for Sister Janie, that whatever the doctors might find that they can treat and do what needs to be done to restore her health. This heat, I guess, is causing a problem this morning. Pray for you, Sister Janie, this morning. It's good to see Sister Nancy with us again, and Brother Hilton. They've both gone through right much. Is there anyone else? Good to see you, Sister. Is there anyone else that we need to remember in our prayers? About your friend, God, of course, how is he?
He just started radiation just this past week. And he's remaining hopeful and optimistic.
Tomorrow, I've got to go to West Salon, and they go to a biopsy on what's balance of my thyroid.
Biopsy test on Brother Hilton tomorrow. Certainly be in prayer for him. Get desired results. Anyone else?
I understand the situation with Andy Thompson.
Is he still in? I heard he was at D.
Change on that. Johnny Ponoroski says it, you.
But you're a young
friend that Marvin and myself, we worked with him for many years, so it's in intensive care at one of the hospitals, not doing well at all. Remember him? Anyone else? Again, I say it's good. Is he in Kuwait now? I don't know why. Well, I do know why too, but our soldiers are not mentioned much in the news anymore because it tends to make us sad, I guess. It's the reason, I don't know. But we need to be always conscious that they're young men, but they're boys too. These young men are in harm's way, whether the news will report it or not. They need our prayers. I've never had to be in battle, but I can't imagine how desperate and lonely that might feel and how unsafe it might feel. We'll ask God to be around about them and not only keep them safe, but to give them a comfortable mind also. Don't ever forget them, because they're there 24/7, and we just we go about our business, and since it's not on the front page of the news, that we hear about maybe a movie star's wedding on the front page, and that's all we hear about. And so we need to be ever mindful of these young men and young women that are putting their life on the line for us, especially today, this week, when we celebrate our freedom. They're there preserving that for us, and we certainly need to be mindful of them. Anyone else? Again, I say I appreciate you all being here this day. I hope we can conduct the service in a way that's respectful and dignified to God, and to lift up His name in praise. Brother Keith, you have a song we can sing.
Number 10.
Number 10. Stand and rest your legs. Have a mind to
sing. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because it tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yet sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, oh, how I love Jesus. because he first loved me.
Let's pray. Most holy, sovereign, eternal, almighty God, we bow before thee this day, declaring that our love for our God is through his grace that he loved us first. Gracious God, we're thankful this day for that grace. We're thankful for thy mercy, for thy love. Dear God, we thank thee that we have this opportunity to come and bow before thy rich throne of grace this day, that we may offer our prayers of thanksgiving for all the blessings we have. Gracious God, as we stop this morning for just a little while in our busy world and realize the blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us, that the prayers that have been answered, that the restoring health has been seen once again as a healing hand from God. Gracious God, we thank you for all the good doctor's reports and all the steady hands of the surgeons. We thank you, O Lord, for the hospitals that we have, that whenever we have afflictions that we can go and receive good health and good care. Dear God, we ask this as those among us that are scheduled for tests this week, that you may go with them. Dear God, our desires that you would be around about them and give them good reports. Dear God, we have so many problems in this life, and we see that thou art with us throughout our days. We ask, O Lord, that you would be around about this army that protects our freedom. Gracious God, we have men and women scattered throughout the world, and they're there to protect our freedoms, and protect our lives as we live in this United States. Dear God, we ask you to be around about them, that they would be safe. Give them a comfort and a peace of mind that they shall return home in sound body and mind. Gracious God, we are thankful for them. We're thankful, O Lord, that we have many churches this day that pray for one another and pray for each other. We offer up our prayers, dear God, not only for those that have been mentioned, but we offer them for those that only thou seest, dear God. We ask that that you hear our prayers for healing and those of our co-workers that's in the hospitals, that's in intensive cares, and the doctors say there's not much hope, and those that are taking radiation treatments, and it's hard to see a positive in it. Dear God, we ask you to be around about them and their trying times and comfort them on their beds of affliction, dear God. Oh Lord, we ask this day that you would be with this country as we go through some troubling times, be around about the leaders, that they would seek thy counsel in making the decisions that they govern these United States in a way that's in accordance to thy will. Gracious God, we ask that you be around about us here that we're gathered today. Keep us all safe and keep us in sound mind and body. And dear God, we ask at this time that you would bless us with a hearing ear and an understanding heart, that we may see the glory of thy grace, and we may see the glory of thy power, and may see the glory of thy mercy and the glory of thy love. Gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity. We ask you to bless us all as we endeavor to worship thee as the only true and living God. We thank thee, O Lord, for this day and all the blessings thereof. And it's through the shed blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we say amen. Week that's coming up, we're starting the 4th of July, or the 4th weekend, or the 4th day is in this week, so I'm trying to say. It's a time when we claimed our independence from Britain with a declaration. And it has turned into probably our most cherished document, one of them anyway. And it's very important in our government and in our the way we conduct our lives. They said whenever, you know, I won't get into the days that this was signed and this was presented and all that stuff, but we bundle it all and put it in the 4th of July, and part of it happened earlier, part of it later, but John Adams wrote his wife, Abigail, after this document, the Declaration of Independence, was presented to be signed. And he said that this document was to be celebrated as a solemn event or with solemn acts of devotion to Almighty God. That's the way they felt about this document, that it was because of God's mercy and grace that we had this opportunity to start a new country, to be free from foreign rule and start up, and we should never forget that we should show this celebration with solemn acts of devotion to God. And he said, in my own words, what he said was that we were to probably celebrate or remember that occasion in 1776 with parades and celebrations and guns and bells and illuminations throughout this country. That's how mind-boggling this document was, that this is something that should be celebrated every year because it was our Declaration of Independence. But always remembering that our celebration was to be based on Almighty God. And when Thomas Jefferson wrote it, he stated this country's desires as self-evident truths, that we had been endowed with certain blessings by our Creator, with certain unalienable rights, such as life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Y'all all know this. We tend to think life and pursuit of happiness is kind of second and third place, and we tend to look at the liberty as the main thing we have now. We have freedom to worship God, and this eventually led to us, them writing the Constitution that ensured our freedoms to assemble, to worship, to speak, to whatever. But it all started with here. We had to declare our independence from England so that we could come and speak and worship the way God wanted us to, not necessarily how King George wanted us to. And it is indeed a great day. And well, we're very much thankful this day or this week that we can meet like this and worship in how God has told us to do. Now, it's a lot of people mess up and say, well, this country was established on freedom, and they will say instead of we have freedom to worship God any way we want to, they change it around and say we have freedom to worship any God the way we want to. That's not exactly what it meant. He's talking about our Creator. But anyway, we have freedom to worship God any way we want to, or any way God has told us to do. We don't have to listen to the dictates of that. But what I want to get to is the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to Timothy, he gives a scriptural basis for what Thomas Jefferson was trying to portray in these certain self-evident truths that he laid out. And Paul writes to Timothy in his first letter, and he tells Timothy that he wants Timothy to stay in Ephesus because Paul had to go to Macedonia for a while. And he told Timothy to, when he's talking to other preachers, other people that are involved in conducting the worship of God in churches, he said, charge some. Now, he puts a limit on what these people can say. We can't worship any God any way we want to. We've got to worship God how God says to worship it. He says, teach no other doctrine. It's very important that you teach nothing else, no other doctrine. You must preach the pure and uncorrupted testimony of the gospel. And he gives a definition of what anyone that stands in this capacity is to preach about. And that's what I want to get to this morning, if I can, to back up the Declaration of Independence. He said, whatever the preacher preaches, it cannot be contrary to sound doctrine. And he defines that. We know that that's got to match the law and all the types and the shadows we found in the Old Testament. But he says it must be according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God that has been committed to my trust. He's talking about the scriptures. He said this has been given to me to protect and to preserve, and it was his duty, it was his trust to keep it from being polluted. Now, this same message was given not only to Apostle Paul, but it's given to Timothy, and it's given to Peter and James and John, and it's been passed down through the different generations. The same gospel. And today, this same gospel has been passed down, and we see it in preachers around the country. Elder Gene Hogan's been handed down to him. Elder Danny Parker's been handed down to him. Elder David Underwood's been handed down to him. And I trust it's been handed down to me. And the thing I want you to concern yourself with is when I now have possession of this, that it is my duty to protect and preserve it.